I'm Matthew Smith, Vermont Edition producer, and I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. January 15th was the cutoff date for getting your car inspected in Vermont under old rules, which granted vehicle owners a grace period of a year for certain issues that might otherwise result in a failed inspection. Sorry, folks, if your car needs an inspection from yesterday on into the future, you are subject to new rules. You might have gotten a postcard trying to explain the emissions rules to you in your mailbox this month. Everyone with a car registered with the DMV was supposed to have gotten one of these cards, but they were a little bit confusing. Maybe a lot confusing. So let's talk about what's actually changed and what hasn't. A lot has not changed about the inspection process. In fact, most things have not changed. But the specific area the DMV is trying to clarify is what's going on with emissions testing. Joining us today to talk emissions and inspections is the Department of Motor Vehicles Chief Inspector Scott Davidson. Welcome back to the show.
Yes, thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity.
Scott, this postcard. Come on, you clearly do not have a group of talented news editors on staff at the DMV. It was a confusing postcard.
No question. There's a lot of information. To sit in this chair and try to narrow down, even in a 45-minute spot, everything that encompasses the admissions program in the state is very difficult to do. The postcard was trying to focus in on one simple aspect, and that's readiness. And that's having your vehicle ready to be tested for admissions by your next inspection.
Here's how I would have written that postcard, and I'd like for you to tell me where I'm wrong. I would have had one line on the postcard that said, in the past, if you cleared the check engine light on your car and went to have it inspected, you could have it inspected immediately. Now you can't. Basically, you can no longer cheat on that check engine light, because you could get it cleared. It might take that computer system in your car a day or two through some driving to be able to check all the systems and figure out if that check engine light needs to come back on. So if you took your car in for inspection in the meantime, it would look fine. Now you can't do that. You actually have to give it some time to make sure that the onboard diagnostics are reading properly. Is that fair to say that that's what you're trying to tell people?
Yes and no. If I was to provide a little bit of a historical background, I think it would clear things up a little bit. In 1991, the United States passed the Clean Air Act. When that law was enacted, it was designed to address toxic pollutants in our air. And one of the requirements was that all vehicles after 1996 were required to have an onboard diagnostic system on their vehicle. So every car was manufactured and made with an onboard diagnostic. And with that, everyone was made the same way so it could be tested with one tool. So all light-duty vehicles manufactured with an onboard diagnostic system were required to be tested. So we haven't changed the rules. The rules have been the same since 1996. As a state, we are required to test vehicles, and if they fail, they are not to get an inspection sticker. They don't pass inspection. They are required.
What's required for the state of Vermont through the EPA is emissions testing or safety inspections?
Emissions testing.
So the state of Vermont is required by the federal government because of rules that are set by the EPA to do emissions testing. That is not an option for the state. That in particular is a requirement, a federal requirement of the state of Vermont.
Correct. It's a must fix. So if your check engine light's on, you have to fix it. The method in which you do that has changed. So what happens is Vermont is part of the Northeast Air Quality Program, or Ozone Transport Region. And what that says is that we're surrounded by Massachusetts, New York, New Hampshire, all these states, and all the pollutants made by vehicles are really transported from state to state, so that basically the Northeast needs to lower its air pollutants. In order to do that, we are all mandated to do this testing. And again, it's a non-fix, non-change. Another regulation that the EPA has is they require states to report the data from emissions testing electronically. So in 2017, we went to AVIP, the Automated Vehicle Inspection Program, where it then enabled us the ability to be able to collect and disseminate data. And then we were able to provide that back to the EPA. When we did this, we knew that this was going to be a big change and that this was going to affect industry. It was going to affect Vermonters. So what we did is we offered a conditional pass. So that's where the change occurred. So what we said then is when you brought your vehicle in to get it tested, we're giving you a year to go get it fixed. And with that, there were no caveats. It was just you're not passing your admissions. Go get it fixed in a year. That is now – we are no longer doing that. So by moving to the waiver, the EPA allows states to have a waiver. So although the EPA is saying you need to repair your vehicle, you can have a waiver mechanism. It's a one-time waiver. So what we did is we designed a waiver for Vermonters to still allow them time to make these repairs and at the same time incorporate an educational opportunity. And the two things that we really want to educate Vermonters on is the emissions warranty and readiness.
Okay, stop there. And we're going to get into both of those, and we're going to get into this waiver, which is not a conditional pass, but which is different. We got a note from Louisa in Middlebury about the postcard we were just talking about, who said, I read the postcard, and I read what was posted on the DMV website. I am not an idiot, but it was completely oblique to me. What are they talking about? Last time I needed an inspection, I went to a garage, and it took about an hour. Has anything changed? Marie says this postcard only clarified the state of Vermont is making its citizens' lives more difficult. Stop putting burdens on your taxpayers. And Trish on Facebook says they're enforcing a law that's been around since 1997. Now they just aren't allowing people to break the law. And let's get a call in here from Todd before we come back to Scott Davidson. Todd's calling in from Rutland. Hi, Todd. Go right ahead.
Hi. Scott, we've spoken before. We've actually spoken on the radio. You probably remember me. I was at one of your meetings. And I have an exact car with the exact problem I warned you about on my list in my shop right now.
So
I have a car that's got over $1,500 worth of repairs done to it, but the battery had to be disconnected to install a new battery. It has an expired inspection sticker. So today, after this gentleman spends over $1,500 with me, I cannot give him a sticker because his car is not ready. And that postcard you sent out is one drive cycle. Some cars, as per manufacturer, may take up to 40 drive cycles to make everything ready.
So, Todd, what would you, before we come back to Scott Davidson, what would you like to see happen?
We need to come up with a way that we can get these cars that the customers can drive them on the street. Because right now, this car, the sticker is expired. The customer can no longer drive the car. And now it is... He's in a situation where I can't drive the car to make it ready.
Right.
Because the sticker's expired.
So, Todd, in terms of people, though, who, you know, I think a lot of people are in the position where they say, if I can just get this check engine light turned off somewhere and then go get it inspected, I'm golden. How would you prevent that? Because, I mean, we don't obviously have stats on how many people do that, but it is being done.
It is being done. You're absolutely right. The trouble is, if you come to me with an expired sticker and say you need an O2 sensor, I cannot give you an inspection that day.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will care. I'll make the repair, I'll clear the codes, and now we've got to wait for the drive cycles. And
right.
If your car is already expired, our hands are tied.
Yeah, Todd, let me put that to Scott Davidson. I really appreciate your perspective. And especially, Todd has a car on the lift right now that he's saying, you know, I fixed it, but I cannot give it a pass. So what about this problem? And again, what we're talking about here is if you have the repairs made or if, you know, whatever, if you haven't had the repairs made and you clear the onboard diagnostic, you need to drive it enough so that the computer system has time to check all of the systems and determine whether, you know, that check engine light is going to come on again or not. So what could somebody, I mean, not only is this a problem for the driver, but presumably this is a problem for mechanics who want to do the repair work, but then are saying to a driver, sorry, I got to take it off the lift and you got to drive it around for a couple of days, not legally, while I can't do anything. My hands are tied. That's not going to be good for mechanics either.
Todd is absolutely correct. When a vehicle does get repaired and it's in a not ready status, not ready, just to clarify for the listeners, not ready just means that the vehicle's computer, for lack of better terms, has not had a chance to check all the parts of the emissions control system for problems. So if it's cold, it's minus 6 degrees the other morning when I got up and my daughter's truck had died. So the battery died. And when the battery died, the computer cleared. So what not ready means is that truck now has to be driven in order for the diagnostic system to be able to diagnose and take a look at all the monitors that are contained within the emission system and then report back. So when the battery is disconnected or there's work done to it or memory has been cleared by a scan tool or something to that effect, the system needs to re-diagnose itself. So there is that period of time. So when Todd does do a repair to a vehicle, the vehicle is going to then go into not ready status, or it's not necessarily the light's going to go out because it needs to diagnose whether that repair was the correct diagnosis. And that does take time, and that's kind of what we tried to explain in that postcard that was unclear to a lot of folks. What we've been asking and the message that we're really trying to get out, and that's why I'm so happy to be here today, is if you want to get a 2-sticker on your car today, you could have gone into the station on January 1st and been valid for 2 months. If you go in on January 28th, you've risked going in the last minute. We're encouraging folks, especially those that know they have emissions problems, to not wait for the last minute, but to get in to the station, allow time for the repairs to be conducted, allow times for the monitors to be able to ready, do the diagnosis and report back so the mechanic can then put a sticker on a vehicle.
Is there no way to have a conditional type thing? I mean, I went to the DMV last week because my birthday is on Friday. My driver's license is expiring. I went in early enough, but they were not sure whether my new driver's license will be here by Friday. Mm-hmm. So I have a temporary driver's license. It's paper. It says your driver's license is valid until you get your new one. It's valid for, you know, so much time. And after this point, you're going to have to show your real driver's license. Mm-hmm. Could you do something like that for – or have mechanics, you know, have to vouch in some way for a car, give it a conditional – I know we're away from conditional passes for the year, but give it a different kind of conditional pass that says this is valid, this paper is valid for 2 weeks, come back in, you know, we look at the onboard diagnostics. If you're clear, we'll give you the pass. I mean, is there some way to do that?
Yeah, there's
because essentially what you're telling people is your inspection sticker is valid until the end of this month, but not really, because if you have any problems, you're going to need to take more time. So it's not really, you know, the deadlines are kind of shifting, but they're just mm-hmm. vague.
Yeah, again, we're just asking folks not to go in last minute. The understanding is that a scan tool is what you plug into your OBD or your onboard diagnostic. It goes into your diagnostic link connector. It reads the computer and it spits out codes. You can interpret the codes. The codes don't tell you fix this. It gives you a general area within the emissions that the mechanic's still got to take a good look at. Now, there are more expensive tools. Snap-on has a tool, a scan tool. It's much more sophisticated that runs, you know, several thousand dollars. It guides the mechanic through the diagnostics. It narrows down the problem. There are smoke machines that are also tools that can be used to help find evap leaks. But in a lot of cases, not all of our inspection stations have all those tools. They have the basic diagnostic tool. So they might make a diagnosis that might be incorrect. So until that system has allowed that vehicle to be able to drive, we don't know whether or not that repair was done correctly or the entire repair was done the way it should be.
But if you have a week and then you got to bring it back in, yep. Wouldn't that cover you?
Well, it depends. And when we walk through how the extension waiver, that might bring some clarity to that. But one of the things that we did do too, because we do understand that asking Vermonters not to go in last minute is probably going to be a challenge. It's going to happen.
You're fighting human nature here.
I'm the first one that's going to go in last minute. I certainly can't point fingers. But we have sent a bulletin out to law enforcement explaining exactly what we're talking about today so that when law enforcement does stop somebody that's 15 days, 2 weeks, a month over, and they explain to the cop that I went in to get my car inspected and it wasn't ready, the cop doesn't say, I don't know what that excuse is. Here's what it is. We wanted to make sure law enforcement understood this so that they could exercise discretion if they do stop somebody. We also asked Vermonters to carry around the VIR report. which is your vehicle inspection report. That way, when you do get stopped, you could explain to the officer, here's the report. I went in to get it inspected. They made these repairs. The car now has to ready itself. I have an appointment to come back in. I was in law enforcement for 30 years before I came to this job. I would not issue a ticket for something like that.
I've actually had a note from a mechanic once in my car that said she is actually scheduled to go in on this date. I don't know if it would have worked, but I had an appointment. I just, you know, it was over. Listeners, if you have a question, we're talking about vehicle inspections, and we're specifically talking about emissions today. That's the area around which there's some confusion and some changing in the regulations. One of the things we are going to talk about is this potential waiver that you can get for certain conditions and depending on how much the repair is going to be and if it's under warranty. So we'll go through all of that. And let's go to Dave, who's calling in from Rutland. Hi, Dave. Go right ahead.
Hi there. I've been a motor vehicle inspector for 35 plus years, and I care about the environment. But this check engine light business is having a very detrimental effect on the folks in our state. If the light is on for emissions and the car is not stumbling or stalling, which will automatically have to be fixed to keep the car, the extra emissions being put out is minimal and nothing compared to the environmental impact of putting an otherwise perfectly good car in the junkyard and mining the iron ore, smelting and making steel, plastic, and the energy to build and deliver that car to the dealer to last another 6 or so years. Both of my cars are 30 years old. The economy like it, but this is not about the economy. I have a friend that is now in dire straits over this very issue, and she is not alone. She will go without food to buy another used car, and what happens when that check engine light comes on? She, like many others, is doing the best she can for her two children, but is being driven into a desperate situation.
Dave, I hear what you're saying, and I really appreciate your thoughts. Let's get another one in here from Adam in Morrisville. Adam, what are you thinking about today?
Hi, yes. I'm calling because a lot of people are confused, and I am too. The check engine light, and you're saying it's emission specific. I have an 03 Honda Accord, and it has a check engine light on for a heater continuity malfunction. So that means there's a wire that's not getting the right type of power, and the heater works fine. Everything is fine. My mechanic says everything's fine, but it's kicking the check engine light on because something's not quite traveling properly and communicating with the computer. He says that with this new rule, it's not inspectable because the check engine light's on. It could cost me $10,000 to figure it out, changing wiring harness, and it's just a guessing game. Now, is this specifically for emissions? Because I'm being told that it's no matter what, it's not inspectable. Or are you saying it's just the emissions problem and the check engine can be on as long as it's not for emissions?
Adam, thanks for the call and a very specific question there, but one that may be illuminating to others. Scott Davidson, Chief Inspector for the Vermont DMV, is with us. What about somebody in Adam's position?
Well, first of all, the check engine light illuminates for emissions problems, and that's it. In some cases, there are some portions of the emissions system that are supported by other components that some might not consider being part of the emission system, but the emission system doesn't work properly unless supported by those components. And that may very well be the case here. It's hard for me to diagnose a vehicle from the radio and to know exactly what code showed up and specifically what's being referred to. But the MIL light, malfunction indicator light, or check engine light is for emissions problems.
So if there was some way to diagnose it as one of the supporting systems and not directly tied to something that was a problem with emissions, is there a way to drive around for more time? You know, can you pass inspection with a check engine light at all?
You can pass it if granted a waiver, which is something that we're going to talk about later in the show, where you can have up to 1 year to get that repaired.
But you still at some point and that is not extendable. You can't take that over more than 1 year. So somebody like Adam will have to get that repaired if he wants to pass inspection, you know, even if he gets a 1 year extension. In that following year, he will have to have that check engine light repaired. I mean, that problem repaired, but the check engine light will have to be off.
Correct, and that has been the case since 1996.
And let's get a call in here from Lucy in Marshfield. Hi, Lucy.
Hi. I wanted to say that when I got the postcard, I saw automated vehicle inspection program, and I thought that referred to these automatic self-driving vehicles. So I thought, oh, this is, must be a mistake. And even the picture of the car on the front of the card doesn't show people in it. So I looked at that and I said, huh, no people in the car. Yeah, this is a mistake.
So, Lucy, thanks. I didn't even think of that as a potential, confusion for people. It's hard when you get a postcard. It's a two-sided postcard. You know, it stood out. I got it. We got two copies at my house. And, you know, it did stand out as like, oh, well, what is this? But then it's a lot of words to read, and some of it, you know, gets a little wordy. And so I think a lot of people probably do think, I don't quite understand this. I'm just going to let it go, or this doesn't apply to me. And it's true. There are no drivers in the car on the postcard. So maybe we're talking about driverless cars here.
That's actually a very good point. It's a very good point. I think the key factor of this postcard, if Vermonters walk away with anything, it's visiting our website at vt-avip.com. And on that website, we have all different forms of communications, narratives, describing the inspection program. And what's nice about this website is it's a one-topic website. It's very easy to navigate, and the information is very succinct and to the point, and it's actually very good. Our partners at the Agency of Natural Resources, Department of Environmental Conservation, Air Quality Division, actually put together some very informative information on OBD, onboard diagnostics, readiness, warranty, et cetera. They really did a nice job.
And let's go to Lanny, who's calling in from White River Junction. Hi, Lanny.
Hello. I have a question about those of us who have what might be considered classic vehicles before OBD2 came out. They still had emissions controls on the vehicles, and previous owner of my vehicle ripped it all out. And what does that hold in stock for me when it comes time for inspection, because it does not have an OBD2?
Scott Davidson?
That would be my question.
Yeah, the answer to that question is that vehicle you're referring to older than 1996.
Lanny, is it older than 1996?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No worries.
So you don't have to worry about passing the emissions portion of the test?
Not prior to 1996, no.
Okay, so let's take Carl here in Moortown, and it may be a similar answer. Carl, you had a question about motorcycles?
Yeah, hi, Scott. Thanks for taking my call. It is a similar question. I own two motorcycles. One is 31 years old. The other one is 42 years old. I get a great amount of joy out of them, and I just want to be sure that I'm still going to be riding them until it's time to put me and them in the ground.
Carl, thanks for the call. You're going to want to listen to our next segment then, too. Scott Davidson, what about that?
Carl, if you can keep those running, I'll be happy to see them on the road.
And Tim in Barnard. Tim, you have a question as well?
Hi, thanks. I have a question or a comment in regards to emissions. I have newer model 2011 and newer diesel engines in my fleet. And the emissions on it, they put reburn and regen modes and a bunch of stuff so that stuff goes into that mode. It has to sit there. My equipment goes into that mode. And it's just...
Oh, Tim... Your call, you're breaking up. What I think that it's written on my screen is that you want to talk about emission controls for diesels and how will that work. So I hope that's the right question. We couldn't quite hear what you were saying, but what about diesel vehicles and are there any differences there?
Yeah, I think for clarifications to make sure I get the question correct, I am going to ask him to reach out to me at scott.davidson@vermont.gov.
Okay.
And I'd be glad to answer that question.
Okay. Thank you for that, Tim. I hope you heard that. You can reach out to Scott Davidson directly on that. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are available to people who go in and do have that check engine light, fail the inspection because of emissions. There's no longer a one-year conditional pass that you could get prior to January 15th that would allow you to drive a car for another year, and then you were expected to have the problem fixed for certain issues. However, there is a potential waiver you can get, but there are some very specific things that go along with it, including whether your vehicle's emission system is still under warranty, how much the repairs are going to cost, et cetera. So can you walk us through that, Scott?
Sure. First of all, I'd just like to say that the state of Vermont acknowledges that emissions repairs on these new technology vehicles can be complex, time-consuming, and expensive to repair. So does the federal government, and that's why the federal government, underneath its regulations, allows us to offer a one-time waiver. With that waiver that we've designed, we're really trying to do two things. We're trying to bring awareness to Vermonters and understanding that that they have or potentially may have an emissions warranty. I know I sat in the locker room the other night at a men's hockey league, and I asked my teammates, I said, can you tell me about the warranty in the state of Vermont for admissions?
And most that's of, some good locker room talk there.
Yeah,
Scott.
It was great locker room talk. And the responses I got were, no, my warranty on my car expired after 3 years, 36,000 miles. And I said, no, I'm not referring to the manufacturer bumper-to-bumper warranty. I'm referring to the admissions warranty. And sadly, my teammates didn't know what I was talking about. The other question that came up in the locker room was, well, I'm the third owner of this car, so the emission, the warranty doesn't apply to me. And that also is not true. The way it works is the federal government requires motor vehicle manufacturers in this country to provide an emissions warranty. They do. Vermont took it to the next step. Vermont law has adopted California's warranty. And what that does is it allows for the emissions control system, the entire system, for 3 years or 50,000 miles. And what's interesting about this is some vehicles, as much as 15 years to 150,000 miles, depending on make, model, and I'll explain that in a minute. And also, for the high-cost components, such as the catalytic converter or the computer, they can be warrantied up to 7 years or 70,000 miles. There are other portions of that warranty that have a little more details, and one of which is the 15-year, 150,000 miles. I own a 2012 Honda Accord. That vehicle is a PZEF vehicle, or partial zero emissions. It also it falls underneath the 50 states. So I am eligible for that 15-year, 150,000-mile warranty. So what we're asking Vermonters to do as part of this waiver is to make sure that they do the repairs under warranty and they check to see if they want to have the report warranty coverage. Again, Vermont does realize that these are expensive. We don't want to see Vermonters making repairs out of their own pocket when it should be covered by warranty. So one of the conditions to this waiver is that we simply check the warranty. And if you have questions about how to check it and what to do, just go to VTAVIP, and there is a well-written description on how to check that. We have asked our inspection stations and provided information to help support that, as well as we met with the Vermont Dealers Association and asked them to also support that through our dealerships. So that's really the first part of the waiver. The second part is we want vehicles to come in and present ready for testing. So last year, we tested onboard diagnostics on 470,000 vehicles. Of those, almost 70,000 vehicles failed emissions, but 32,000, or almost half of those vehicles, simply weren't ready to be tested. So what we did is we had Vermonters come in, we tested them, the computer said not ready, and we told them they needed to make the repairs within a year, but we didn't tell them what those repairs were because we didn't know, because the vehicle wasn't ready to be tested. So what we're requiring is that the vehicle does show up, is ready, and that the warranty is checked. And finally, to be eligible for the waiver, you have to pass the safety portion. The federal government also, for guidelines on the regulation to allow us to offer a waiver, also gives us recommendations on an amount to exceed. The state of Vermont has chosen $200 to start. And what that means is if you go into your inspection station, you pass safety, you fail admissions, your car was ready, you checked your warranty, and the repair estimate exceeds $200. The mechanic, can, including diagnostic, can fill out that estimate, and then you are eligible for the waiver. If you do have a warranty, you have to get it fixed, and then you got to return.
Right, so you can't get the waiver if your car, if your emission system is under warranty.
If it's covered, you have to get it repaired. The whole idea that we started since 1996 is that you have to get your vehicle fixed. If you have an emissions problem, you have to get it repaired. So staying with that requirement, we're saying that if you have a warranty, you have to get it repaired. This allows Vermonters 1 year to go save up and get these repairs done. But I caution Vermonters, waiting when that light comes on could cost you a lot more money down the road. So our recommendation, as soon as your check engine light comes on, to go in, get it diagnosed, and get it repaired. And the reason I say that, and I'll use an example, is if you have a misfiring spark plug and that code turns on your check engine light, if you ignore that for a year and then get your car fixed, you're going to replace your catalytic converter at $800 to $1,200, depending on your make, model, and car. So we want folks to get them fixed, and we want them to get them fixed as soon as that light comes on. The whole idea, again, of this program at the end of the day is that Vermonters are repairing their emissions problems.
All right. So here's another example, and I'll use my car. My car is a 2008 Subaru. It's got 210,000 miles on it. It has a check engine light on, and I know what it is. It's been diagnosed. It's because the inner flap inside my gas tank is frozen open. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to pass the emissions standard. But my mechanic told me this is going to cost me a couple hundred dollars to fix it. I'm not sure my car is going to last another year. I don't want to spend $500 to fix an inner flap on my gas canister. Am I going to be eligible for that waiver? Because my car is not even going to be around probably, possibly. Maybe it'll be around for another 5 years, fingers crossed. But, you know, that 1 year would give me some chance to see if that car is even worth keeping.
If the amount of repair is under $200, you're going to have to get it fixed.
But if it's over, that's something.
If it's over $200, you can do that.
So when you say then, though, that your car has to be ready, if the check engine light is on in somebody's car and they know what the diagnosis is, can their car even still be considered ready in order to get that waiver? Because I thought to be ready, you know, you just have to have the diagnostics, you know, or they have to have been working for long enough, whether they're saying there's a problem or not. It's ready either way.
Yeah. Onboard diagnostics is nothing more than a system of monitors that basically tell the computer that the car is ready, that the car is healthy.
So we got a note from on Twitter from Scott Woodward VT, who says, wouldn't it be better if manufacturers then changed the check engine light to check emissions? I always thought the check engine light went on for a variety of reasons. Should we be changing the way manufacturers describe that problem?
I'll make that recommendation first thing Monday morning.
And we got a note from somebody who says maybe Vermont should offer reject stickers like New Jersey. Also, move the inspection term to every 2 years. One is not enough time. Scott asked that we not wait until the last minute, then extend the period. Could we see an inspection every 2 years instead of every one?
We have discussed that. But going back to the theory of a lot of the narrative that I hear quite often is how expensive it is to repair a vehicle. And another example with my Honda Accord is I had my car inspected and I didn't check the brakes and they gave me a sticker. And about 8 months into the year, I was hearing grinding on the back brakes. And then I went in to another inspection mechanic and he looked at it and he said, you got to replace your caliper and your rotors. You have no pad left. I don't drive too many miles on my car. I'm pretty confident that I could have replaced that pad back on that early inspection had that been diagnosed. So having your car checked on a regular basis is important. And another example is your tires. 2/32 is the tire tread depth that's passing. But the average person drives about 15,000 miles a year. And if they drive for 1 year at 15,000 miles, that car is going to be bald at the end of the year. And if I waited 2 years, it's definitely going to be unsafe. Again, getting the car in for a regular routine inspection to make sure it's healthy, just like going to the doctor's and getting your health checkup, is important.
Scott, I want to read another note here that we got from Ed in Pittsford, who's saying we should hold manufacturers liable to make these systems actually work. And we just have a minute left, but I want to give you the chance to reiterate that one of the things that you're trying to do here, or the DMV is trying to do, is to let people know that, in fact, there are much longer emissions warranties than many people know.
Yes, no question. And depending on the make, model of the vehicle or where it was manufactured, depends on what that warranty is. But at the very base minimum, the Vermont warranty is pretty extensive, as described earlier.
Scott Davidson is the chief inspector for the Vermont Department of Motor Vehicles. He mentioned a couple of different websites where people can find more information. We have links to them at vpr.net. And we've talked with Scott before and with the DMV before about these changing policies around inspections, and we'll put links to our previous shows on that, especially some things we talked about people very concerned about whether this is really hurting people of low income, elderly people who drive older cars in Vermont, and you'll find a lot of that discussion at vpr.net. Click on Vermont Edition, and you'll see all of that on today's show about vehicle inspections. Scott Davidson, thank you very much for talking with us today. Appreciate your time.
No, thank you.